Trail of Bad Eats, Dinner on the Wagon Trains. In response to today's fast food-dominated, monosodium glutamate-infused American diet, there has grown a pervasive nostalgia for the allegedly wholesome organic cuisine we believe to have been enjoyed by our 19th century forefathers. Whatever truth there may be in this for those then living on or near established farms and ranches, and please note that even for them the modern perception is widely exaggerated, the typical diet of a 19th century pioneer on any of the overland trails radiating through Kansas on their way to establish new farms in the West can be summed up in one word: monotonous. A tiresome and none too healthy daily round of sourdough, bacon, salt pork, cornmeal, beans, dried fruit or vegetables, and coffee, and that was for the early, easy stages. Toward the end, many a wagon party was reduced to subsisting on a small diet of hard crackers, pemmican, ground up meat and vegetable powders mixed with lard, and wild herbal teas, if you had been lucky to find any wild herbs close by the trail. The dominant factors determining the menu for a wagon train had little to do with taste or even nutrition, but were primarily the food's weight, bulk, and shelf life. It was 2,040 miles from Leavenworth to Oregon City on the Overland Trail. Prudent immigrants allowed 6 months for the trip. 5 months was considered good time, and 4 months phenomenal. A typical pioneer wagon could transport 1,600 to 1,800 pounds of cargo. Given the exertions of the trail, most experts recommended allowing for 3 to 4 pounds of food per day for an adult and 2 pounds for children. A popular 1850s guide for the would-be pioneer by William Byers recommended a minimum provision for each adult of 150 pounds of flour, 50 pounds of bacon, 40 pounds of sugar, 20 pounds of cornmeal, 15 pounds of dried fruit, 15 pounds of beans, 10 pounds of coffee, 5 pounds of rice, 5 pounds of salt, and 2 pounds each of baking soda and medicinal tea. A whopping 315 pounds for each adult or teenager, not including the many added knickknacks as you see fit that Mr. Byers helpfully allowed for. A pioneer family of 5 often required an entire wagon just for the food, let alone the utensils, cookware, tools, spare parts, and supplies for establishing themselves at the other end. The great advantage to these pioneer staples was that they would remain edible, if not necessarily delectable, for a year or more if they could be kept dry and free from vermin. Against the very high probability of spoilage, wise trail parties also packed emergency stores of hardtack, jerky, and pemmican, since they knew that the possibility of hunting and foraging for wild food to supplement their stores along the relatively heavily traveled trail system was minimal. Of course, they could buy from the few trading posts along the trails, but only if they had the cash and willingness to pay prices 5 to 10 times higher for inferior goods. Around 1860, a 50-pound sack of flour sold in Leavenworth for $1 might go for $7.50 at Fort Laramie, 650 miles away, and would often be infested with insects to add insult to extortion. Of course, even in Leavenworth, caveat emptor prevailed. As late as 1861, unwary pioneers were bilked by sharp operators selling surplus government hardtack from army stores procured for the Mexican War 20 years previous. Upon opening the allegedly sealed containers many long weeks later, the hapless hungry travelers found dry crackers so infested with weevils, they had to soak them in hot coffee and then skim the dead larvae off the surface before they could stomach it. Oh, how, in the midst of the Dakota Badlands, they must have longed to have it their way.